Good morning, everyone. Bad news, all you early risers here at Fornebu, and all those of you listening in on the phone or watching us on the internet. All relevant material should be available to you either here in print or electronically on our website, telenor.no for Norwegian and telenor.com for English version. The internet transmission will also be available as a recording after the conference here. And later today, as a test, we also offer you the opportunity to download the recording to your mobile phone, provided you have one which supports video. All you have to do is simply send an SMS to 2150-2150 with the text video webcast, and the link should be sent to you. But be patient, it will not be available immediately after the conference, but give it some time and have it a test. We go by the same procedure as for the previous quarter. First, the presentation by our CEO, Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and CFO, Torstein Moland. Then a question and answer session here from the people present. And then we open up for questions on the phone. So then, I yield the floor to our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. We're, for this third quarter of 2004, happy to say that the growth continues. It's another solid financial quarter for Telenor. And in Norway, we see a shift towards the mobile services, even stronger than we've seen before. If we take a look at the figures, it's the mobile growth that fuels the top line of Telenor for this quarter. There's a 16% top line growth, which falls in line with the previous quarters of this year, which was 16 for second quarter and 13 for first quarter for comparison. And it's mobile that is the driver. From a customer perspective, this quarter we have added as much as 2.2 million subscribers, new subscribers to the Telenor systems in this quarter alone. And this also constitutes 2.6 on pro rata basis. And 2.6 million new customers is basically one new set of Norwegian customers basically for one quarter alone. We feel this is a very important feature because it builds the future in an environment where many countries still has a lot of penetration to pick. Domestically, mobile revenues are up 6%, whereas fixed revenues are down 3% in a combination of traffic revenues and international transit traffic. For broadcast, another strong quarter, and for broadcast as a whole, we've now reached 800,000 DTH customers at the end of third quarter, 2004. Let us then go business area by business area, and let's start with mobile. It's an all-time high revenue, almost 9 billion. EBITDA has risen 400 million, and the EBITDA margin is 38% for the group as a whole. EBIT has reached 1.8 million, and the EBIT margin is for the first time above 20%. With the statistics in the marketplace, Telenor in these days focus strongly, and it's our priority to catch market share. It's a very strong quarter when it comes to customer growth, 6.3 million net adds in Q3 alone on a 100% basis, now reaching 45 million in all our systems altogether. The consolidated growth figure is 2.2 billion and 2.6 on a pro-rata basis. It's our belief that to catch our fair share of the market and grow our market positions is the best effort that we can do to prepare ourselves in the competition ahead. In particular, I want to mention the speed of growth both in the Russian market as well as in Ukraine. Two very, very strong quarters for these two companies, where the Russian market has risen as much as 9.2 million new customers in the quarter as such, on which VimpelCom has picked 4.1 million new customers in one quarter. But also in Ukraine, the speed is high, with Kyivstar having added 1.2 million and picked up market share in this quarter. If we then go market by market in the mobile area, and I start with Norway. Penetration, as we now estimate, is soon climbing to 100%, measured the SIM card by population. Non-voice revenues for this quarter is 14%, despite price reductions on these kinds of services. There is a decrease in the ARPU figure, mainly because of the price reductions that we've had on SMS in the prepaid segment. And the prepaid campaign that we had over the summer, where you buy for 500 and get for 1,000 kroner, has boosted usage, but not fully compensated for the price reduction factor as such. We have launched Edge from September 24th, meaning that from now on, 3G-like services can develop in the market going forward. We have improved the underlying cost structure in Telenor Mobile in Norway by the fact that the nominal OPEX cost is lower in third quarter 204 compared to 203. But the SAC and the retention cost has increased. So in the third quarter, we spent 200 more million on this aspect in 204 than we did in 203. Meaning that the margin is as a consequence lower. But on the good side, the improved number of customers, building the customer base with as much as 114 new GSM subscribers in this quarter alone, is a fantastic figure. And this is in line with how we have thought on this aspect. We do want to make sure that we take our market shares in the way we have our ambition. And having a look at other figures that have been reported this morning, we feel that we have strengthened the market share slightly from the 56 estimated percentages that is on this panel. In the Danish market, Sonofon, also in this country, we have been able to increase the customer base, and we have improved our market position by half a percentage point in this quarter. Mobile penetration is slightly lower than in Norway, anticipated to be around 90%. And the price pressure in the Danish market has been considerable through the year, and it's still there. We do believe that also fourth quarter will be a very active, high activity type of a quarter because of the consolidation efforts in the Danish market. We do believe that there are possibilities for Sonofon to improve the market position and enter 205 as the clean number two in the Danish market. On the synergy side, we feel that we are in line with preparing for the synergies between the Sonofon operation and the Norwegian Telenor Mobile operation, in the sense that the 200 million that we targeted as OPEX reductions from next year on is very well underway. Hungary. A mature market, penetration increased in this quarter to 83%, up 2 percentages. We've seen a slight decline in market share for the PAN and GSM operation over the quarters. But also in this country, we have improved the customer the statistics in this quarter. And in particular, we have had good success with our postpaid offerings. At the end, towards the end of the quarter, we also launched a new prepaid offering in the marketplace. And there are good signs that also this offering has been well received in the marketplace. So we look very much forward to how this campaign will develop in the fourth quarter. On the regulatory side in Hungary, the UMTS process is now going, in the sense that there is a milestone at 2nd of November. And it's our ambition to go for one of those four UMTS licenses that are offered in the marketplace towards the end of this year. Kyivstar, as before, fantastic growth, but in this quarter we can be even more satisfied with the Kyivstar operation because it has taken back a little bit of the market share loss that we had in particular in the first quarter this year. So we have improved our market share from 42.8% in Q2 to 45.9% at the end of Q3. And this happens in a marketplace where penetration has moved 4.6 percentage points in one quarter alone. So it's a fantastic growth environment for the time being. Modern mobile communications is presumed as something that people really want to take with themselves in these days. The economic outlook for the country as it stands is also pretty good, and this boosts interest in communication. Kyivstar's share of net ads during this quarter has been as much as 58%. And we took in September alone 700,000 new customers. And this happens after a preparation for this growth period, both having higher capex in both capacity and coverage. At the same time as this growth happens, there is another feature which is worth mentioning for the Kyivstar and the Ukrainian market, and that is the fact that ARPU is remarkably stable. ARPU has not declined as we've seen in other markets when we have growth elements like this, which means that the new customers coming in are key users from day one. And the interconnect regime that was introduced last year has of course contributed to this development. Let's move over to Digi in Malaysia. Another strong quarter from Malaysia. Subscriber penetration is now more than 50%. Digi's market share has been improved slightly to 21% through this quarter. And there is one characteristic in the Malaysian market which is worth mentioning, and that is the non-voice revenue part of the revenue stream, which is as high as 17%. And this has also led us to be the company that launches Edge first in order to further stimulate the market for data usage. So the Edge functionality is already in place in the in our Digi operation in Malaysia. Grameen Phone, we've now reached 2 million subscribers. The penetration is still low, still below 2.5%. We have also improved our market share in this quarter to 62.5%. And the subscriber base, which has now reached 2 million, that was done in a year. It took 6 years to reach the first million. It took only 1 year to reach the next million. So the pickup rate of new customers coming into the market here is just fantastic. As in Ukraine, CapEx is needed to cover this kind of market growth. And we do believe that the Bangladeshi market will be positive also in the months to come for the Grameenphone operation. Let me then introduce a newcomer, the operation from Monte in Montenegro. We have been with this company for many years, all the way since its start, but we've been in a minority position. And this quarter, as effective from 11th of August, we have then climbed the ladder and acquired the rest of the shares. 55.9% of the shares were acquired for the equivalent amount of 65 million euros, which gives them which is equivalent to an enterprise value of 116 million euros on a 100% basis. What's worth mentioning on the Montenegrin operation, even though it's a small operation, it's a very seasonal operation in the sense that the third quarter is a holiday type of quarter with many people coming into the area, also people servicing the tourist industry, meaning that there is a number of prepaid cards bought for this specific third quarter, as we see both for third quarter last year and third quarter this year. And we also see a very healthy EBITDA margin for the operation as such. Let me then mention a little bit on the two non-consolidated companies, VimpelCom and VTAC. VimpelCom has now reached more than 20 million subscribers and keeps the pace. The nation penetration rate, nationwide penetration rate in Russia is now anticipated to be more than 40%, and the growth is coming primarily from the regions outside Moscow. And we could state that VimpelCom, through this quarter, has taken more than its fair share, improving its market share slightly during this quarter. And it is anticipated that the growth, even though it has been strong this year, there will be still be growth next year, but probably not at the same level as we've seen in the two quarters midst of 2004. Let me then switch to the next business area. The mobile fuel in the Norwegian market has had an impact. We've seen that many customers this year have spent more time on the mobile phone than on the fixed line operation as such. Young people go mobile. The effect that we've seen in previous September when students recirculate in the Norwegian community with a growth in number of subscriber lines in fixed has not come to the same extent this quarter as we've seen last year. And this is probably what lies behind this is the likable explanation that young people tend to keep their mobile for voice purposes and use their PCs either in a student environment for broadband services. And it's then been our approach to this to stimulate this kind of market trend development by having a push for the ADSL market as we've had through the quarter, by adding as much as 35,000 new ADSL connections in third quarter alone. And I, of all the years I've been in Telenor, I've not seen any third quarter with that kind of high activity in the fixed line, either in the ISDN generation or in the PSDN. So it's a fantastic broadband quarter that we're in the midst of. And there's no reason to believe that this kind of growth should not also come in the fourth quarter. But we have to see that we have in this quarter not been able to compensate for the fixed and mobile migration in the same level as we've seen for Telenor reported figures before. Whether this is a new trend, we're a little bit in doubt about that. It's a little bit too early to say that this is the new level, because we feel that the fourth quarter is still to be seen and measured and compared to previous years' development in this respect. It has to be said, though, that 32% of all originated traffic meetings in Norway now is done by mobile systems, and this figure is up 3 percentages compared to last quarter. On an adjusted basis, the difference from reported to adjusted here is mainly because of the EDB deal that was done with Accenture and the managed services side that we did in May. Taking away top-line growth in fixed, reducing EBITDA, but keeping a stable EBIT margin. There is also some restructuring in this picture, which means that that the adjusted margin is down 0.6 percentages compared to the third quarter last year. And the market trends are pretty clear. There is a reduction in number of lines connected, and to meet this kind of development, we intend to initiate differentiated subscriber offerings in the months to come. But we also see a fairly stable carrier pre-select situation, and even though we see a slight increase in the wholesale line rentals, which means that the competitive situation in the fixed line market is fairly stable and as you see it in previous quarters. And we're building the future by following upon the impressive growth that we've seen in ADSL. And ADSL penetration in Norway has now come to the top of the statistics in Europe. And as we've mentioned previously this month, we intend to build as much as 90% household coverage through 2005. Moving then to the third business area for broadcast, we see an impressive EBITDA margin which has now grown to 31.9%. And the top line growth has been above 10%. Which means that when we see customer growth at the bottom, we have economy of scale effects in the operations. The new satellite is in place in orbit, and it do produce TV signals already, and the capex figure of 636 million Norwegian kroner is, of course, the element that explains the capex column at the panel here. The customer base development with DTH in the Nordic countries has now reached 800,000, which is a milestone for us. And compared to our main competitors, which over the last 3 to 4 years has had a pretty stable and even a slight reduction in their customer base, we feel that we have positioned broadcast very nicely through the way we've done the things after we acquired Canal Digital. To close, I just want to repeat ourselves on the strategic issues. We do prioritize Telenor position in Norway. We do prioritize our efforts to carry through the synergies in the Scandinavian mobile operations. And we do prioritize very strongly the market position and to take the growth elements that we see in every market. This is why we have the focus on both maintaining and growing market share across the board, both in mature markets as well as in growth markets. On the structural side, we do follow the strategy that we are that we have advocated for quite some time, namely to establish an industrial position for mobile operations by climbing the ladder, both to in 100% position in Montenegro, as well as the small additions in Bangladesh, which we saw today, where we have acquired another 4% of Grameenphone, in such a way that we secure the majority position even further in that operation. And with those words, I give the word to Torstein, who will take us through the financials of the group more in detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Fredrik. Before going to the financials, let me highlight the key messages for this quarter. We experienced a tremendous growth in our mobile companies in emerging markets. The consolidated subscriber growth for the third quarter only was 2.2 million. On a pro rata basis, the growth was as high as 2.6 million. In Norway, the growth is still significant despite almost 100% penetration. Here, we obtained more than 110,000 new subscribers in the third quarter. Lower prices have slightly reduced ARPU. The strong volume growth and the price reductions in domestic mobile are leading to increased migration from fixed to mobile. Reduced revenues from international transit traffic and lease lines also contribute to somewhat slower growth in fixed wholesale revenues. These are the reported figures for the second quarter. In the next slides, I will comment the underlying revenues and the EBITDA development more in detail. I would like, however, to lead you to your attention in the profit before tax after the first 9 months this year, 10 billion kroner, almost doubled from the same period last year. Here are the figures adjusted for special items. After the consolidation of Sonofon, approximately 300 million of annual goodwill amortizations are moved from associate companies to the EBIT line. Despite this, we see that the EBIT in the third quarter this year is improved by 240 million. The profit before tax is improved from the third quarter last year by over half a billion kroner. Telenor's revenues, excluding gains, increased by 15.9% to 15.6 billion. Adjusted for the effects of acquisitions, disposals and currency fluctuations, the growth in revenues was more than 7%. In this calculation, we include historic pro forma figures for acquired businesses. There is an underlying growth for the consolidated mobile companies of 17%. The main growth engine is the mobile companies outside the Nordic countries, with a growth as high as 29%. For the fixed business, the underlying revenue loss was 3% this quarter, and for broadcast, the revenue growth was 11%. The adjusted EBITDA was 5.6 billion, which gives a margin of 36.1%, the same as in the second quarter. The main reason behind the reduced margin compared to the third quarter last year are the consolidation of Sonofon and the reduced margins in domestic mobile and fixed. We are as committed as ever to our cost-cutting programs, that the increased spending on marketing also gives the pressure on margins. We have spent more than 70% more on handset subsidies in domestic mobile than in the third quarter last year. As a result of higher gross sales and 25% higher tax levels. The number of man years increased during this quarter by 500, mainly due to the consolidation of Promonte in Montenegro. Domestically, we have continued the steady decline in our workforce. The CapEx to sales ratio for the group is 19% in the first 9 months. The increase is mainly due to the acquisitions of the mobile license in Pakistan. Adjusted for this, the CapEx to sales would have been 15% for the first 9 months. The increase is also attributable to the growth in Kyivstar, Grameen, and also in Telenor Mobile. In domestic fixed, the PAC CapEx to sales ratio was as low as 8% in this quarter and 8% year to date. Here we see the net debt development over the last quarters. The net debt is now 20.6 billion, down 1.4 billion during this quarter. From the table, the income tax paid is partly related to Kyivstar and Pennon, and the dividend is mainly Kyivstar and Grameen have paid dividend to other shareholders. Other is basically changes in working capital. And now finally, the outlook for 2004. We generally confirm our expectations for 2004 as presented in Telenor's report for the second quarter. We expect a continued positive development in Telenor's results compared to 2003. This also applies to the fourth quarter of 2004. Continued growth in revenues is expected, in particular driven by the international mobile operations, where we experience a strong growth in the customer base in several markets. The EBITDA margin, excluding special items for 2004, is expected to be in line with 2003. This includes the consolidation of Sonofon and the establishment of mobile operations in Pakistan. This expectation is based on, among other things, the effects of increased marketing efforts to secure growth in several of our mobile operations. CapEx in the fourth quarter is expected to be higher than in the fourth quarter of 2003 due to expectations of continued high network investments in Telenor's international mobile operations. Thank you. And now we will be ready to answer questions.
Definitely. And the CEO will take place. And we also invite Senior Executive Vice President and Head of Mobile International, Arve Johansen, to take the stand. As we have viewers on the internet and listeners on the phone, please can you wait for a microphone before you post your question. And after the short question around here in the auditorium, we open up for questions from people listening on the phone. So, please, any questions? All quiet. No questions from the audience there? Well, if that is not the case, then we call upon the call conference host to introduce questions from the phone.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Andrew Hogley from Lehman Brothers. I wonder if you can talk a bit more about the domestic mobile operation. Do you have a sense, or can you give details? You say that SACs, FRCs are quite a lot higher than last year. What's the underlying margin trend stripping that factor out? Thank you.
To the question, if I understood you correctly, your question was about the underlying market, looking a little bit aside of the retention costs involved. And we have in third quarter spent 200 more million Norwegian crowns on retention activities in third quarter 2004 than we did for third quarter last year. And if you multiply that back to the margin, it's a fairly big figure. On the other side, the world doesn't stand still on all other parameters. So of course, new customers also add to top line. So to be sort of exact on your comparison is a little bit difficult. But the nominal OPEX figure in third quarter 2004 is basically lower than it was for third quarter 2003, meaning that the cost efficiencies that we have introduced over the year have had a positive effect on the cost structure.
Any more questions from the call conference?
Mr. Nelson from
CBS. Hello, Peter Nelson from Shiro. Just a question relating to the domestic fixed and mobile operations. The trends you talked about we've seen in Q3, is there any reason why we should not expect the same trends in Q4?
Over the years, the statistics in a way show that there is also there is always a pickup in traffic volumes towards the Christmas period. The statistics shows that very clearly. What we've seen in the September quarter, in the third quarter of 2003, is the fact that the same pickup trend for voice minutes in the fixed line operation has not grown to the same extent as the previous years, whereas the growth figure has been stronger on the mobile operation than the previous years. The combination of it is that the overall revenue stream from both communication structures we see as fairly much in balance over these periods, despite the fact that there are significant price reductions through the year from 2003 to 2004, in particular for mobile revenue. So what gives us a little bit of an uncertainty in the fourth quarter is that we are not 100% clear as to how deep the prepaid offering that we had during the summer will last into the fourth quarter. That's why we are not confirmative to say that yes, this is a new trend. We rather want to have a look at what's going on and also put some other stimuli into the fixed market as we go forward.
Is there anything you can do to improve the margin?
Okay, we're still waiting for more questions from the phone.
Mr. Arsenio from Goldman Sachs.
Yes, good morning. I think I'll probably let you answer the previous question, which was left unanswered, and then I'll come in with mine, if that's okay.
Yes.
If you can increase the fixed line margin, I think that was the previous question.
Yeah, the fixed line margin is on a adjusted level down 0.6 percentages from from third quarter 2003. And we do maintain that we can sort of keep the margin level that we on average have had through 2004 up to this stage also for the fourth quarter.
Right. And my question was about Ukraine. Obviously very impressive performance from there. I'm just trying to understand whether this ARPU stability that you've seen there, whether there's anything beyond seasonality in this numbers, and whether we can expect the ARPU going down quite dramatically in the following quarters after the summer. Also, on Ukraine, have you noticed any pickup in competitive activity with GCC entering the market and becoming more active, apparently? And finally, on Ukraine, do you expect any change in your operational environment there after the elections?
Okay, on the ARCA, we are very satisfied with the ARCA development so far, and it's quite impressive that they have maintained it so well, even though they have had this big uptake on the subscribers. We are prepared for a drop in ARCA as we go deeper into penetration, and we hope that it will not be anything dramatic. It's still on a low level. Usage has picked up, but it's still on a low level, so we believe that it looks like people are willing to spend a little more on mobile communication, and it's a trend in the society. It's, you know, kind of being in the time and being modern to do it, so we hope it's not dropping too much. On the competitive activity, we believe there are two competitors apparently rolling out networks, but they are not very active in the market so far. It's both the DCC that you mentioned and the URS or Welcome. But rumors say that they will start operating before Christmas, but they are not absolutely certain. But with the position we have taken in the market, we feel that we have a good position to defend our position, even though we will have more competition in the market. On the president election coming up, we have tried to analyze that, and I will leave that question to Karstein Moland, who is also on the board of that company, and he has just been there. So what do you say, Karstein?
I think the presidential election will be very important for Ukraine. Whoever is going to win, I believe that the process we have seen over the last year of improving conditions for business, of more stabilized rules, will continue, so that we are not afraid of something going wrong after the election. I think it will be a question of how fast is the improvement going to be, and in what directions.
All right, thank you very much.
The picture of Ukraine politics and Ukraine you get when you are there is quite different from what you can read in some of the Western newspapers.
Great.
Mr. Sengi from JP Morgan.
Good morning, Raj from JP Morgan. A couple of questions. First, on the Swedish mobile market, it seems as though the losses there in that market are increasing. Just wondering, what is your strategy there? Should we expect a pullout at some stage? And then in Norway, again on the mobile market, and we've seen several price decreases this year. Do you think we're coming towards an end there, or we're going to see more price decreases going forward?
On the Swedish mobile, it's on its own a very, very limited activity. And the main reason is, as we have explained before, to have an offering in the market so that we can accommodate basically the customers in Norway and Denmark with services also when they are in Sweden. We have close to 100,000 customers on its own. That's not enough to make that operation profitable on its own. But when we take the total picture, what we achieve in the Norwegian market and Danish market, and also the arrangements that we have commercially with Tele2, for us it's an okay business. But you should not expect us to do very big changes in Sweden in the near future. On the Norwegian mobile and price cuts, we believe that the price cuts we have seen has actually strengthened our position in the market long term. So
we are quite happy when we look at the underlying financial performance after the price cuts and after the increased subscriber acquisition cost. And we believe we might need to keep it both on the acquisition cost and on the prices. Whether we need to cut prices at the same rate going forward, we hope not, but if necessary, we will do it.
Thank you.
Next call, please.
Mr. James Eng from Vera.
Good morning, yes, it's James Eng from Dial. I was just wondering if you could tell us what proportion of your ADSL user base has no PSTN subscription, and also if you could remind us of what percentage that was in Q2, because I don't believe that was ever quite made clear. Thank you.
That percentage is still fairly low. I need a little bit of an added information here. And it says 7%. All the existing ADSL subscribers do not carry PSTN or ISDN for the time being. That percentage is off, if I remember correctly, 2 percentages from last quarter. 5% in the second quarter, 7% in the third quarter.
Thank you.
Mr. Ki Jen from Deutsche Bank.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Vivek Khanna from Deutsche Bank. Sorry, just two quick questions, please. First is, I was wondering if you could provide an update on any plans of TV over DSL which you might be having. And the second one is really more related to Pakistan, if there's been any sort of update with regards to any sort of distribution agreement with, should we say, a local operator. If you could provide an update there, please. Thank you very much.
Well, so the first part of your question about TV over ASL?
Yes, sir.
For the time being, we don't have any offering of TV over ASL as a standard offering in the Norwegian marketplace. We've had some trials run over XDSL in the Stavanger area for a couple of years. We're now revising that standard and see whether we should include that in our offerings in the years to come. For the time being, we don't have an offer of a TV over ADSL.
If I understood your question correct regarding Pakistan, you referred to the ownership and partnership situation?
That's correct, sir.
Is that correct?
That's right, sir.
Yes. No, we have no plans to include any equity partners in the operation as of today, and I don't think we will see that in the near future either. So we will own it as a Telmar 100%, but of course we will have business arrangements with a lot of local partners for distribution and other stuff.
Okay, we have four more callers. Next one, please.
Mr. Hoppe from Brothers.
Hi, thank you. Andrew Hoppe again. I wonder if you can give a quick follow-up on your cash returns policy. Just wanted to make sure that nothing has changed as regards your views, that you're still looking for optimal balance sheet structure and that you'll continue to pursue the share buyback program. Thank you.
Yes, I can confirm that nothing has changed and that we will, there's made no changes or made no decisions or any changes in our shareholder policy. I don't think that if you make an estimate as of what might be the dividend consequences of our dividend policy we have and look at the estimates of what we are going to have in net profit for this year, you will see that it's likely that we are going to pay dividend plus share buyback. That constitutes a very high proportion of our net profits this year. So on that background, you should not be sure that we are going to continue in the same speed as we have done before. And as you know, we have been very clear that we did not want to announce beforehand what we when we are or at which amount we are going to do share buybacks. But there is no change in the policy as to dividend or to share buyback.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next call, please.
Mr. Pierce from Dresden Bank.
Hi, good morning. John Pierce from Dresden Credit Research. I'm just noting that Colonial has done a pretty good job in the most recent quarters of holding debt down. But I'd like some comment from you, please, if you could. Against the background of good growth and EBITDA, even if not cash flow, I mean, to what extent can we expect net debt to increase going forward? The second thing I'd love some more comment from you on is regarding your CapEx. I mean, in Q2, it was pretty obvious there was a very big spike in CapEx, primarily due to the Pakistan license, or that's what it looked like. Is it easy to understand the increases in Q3's CapEx compared against the previous year's Q3 on the same basis, or is it just across-the-board increases? Thank you.
On the CapEx, let me take that first. What we have seen in the third quarter is mainly that a reflection of the very strong growth in Grameen and in Kyivstar. And we expect that growth also to continue next year, so that you should expect a higher CapEx next year, mainly as a result of very strong customer growth in emerging markets. When it comes to the development of net debt, we have as a long-term policy to maintain single A rating. Sorry, and we are sticking to that policy. Whether that would change the net debt levels over the next few quarters, I can't give you a precise statement on that, simply because we don't know whether there will be. We know that there will be more capex, but we don't know whether we will make any acquisitions yet. And the net debt development will, of course, strongly depend on whether such things will happen.
Okay, thank you.
Then Mr. Marsh from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, I just wondered if it would be possible to know the domestic ARPU in September, the blended ARPU and then the prepaid ARPU for September.
We generally don't split the ARPU figures on a monthly basis, but the quarterly figures can be read from the report.
Would it be below the average in September? Was that trend of impact getting worse towards the end of the quarter?
I have no comment to that question, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Gausler from Societe Generale.
Yeah, hi, my name is Jostein Gausler from SocGen Credit Research. This is also regarding, can you give me some more color on capital structure policy? I see you have a quite comfortable net debt to EBITDA on one time. There was already another question, but you give us a little color on that.
I can add a couple of comments. I think it's fair to say that the ratios, they are to some extent overstating our credit quality, because we have a lot of revenues from emerging markets. So that we have been now re-rated by the rating agencies over the last half a year, and they are basically saying that we have a stable outlook at the same credit rating as we have now, and that we have some margin for inorganic growth, which is possibly acquisitions. But we do not have a policy. We do not want to be overcapitalized, so that if we don't succeed in doing transactions that we believe that the shareholders will profit from, then we, of course, will send more money back to the shareholders.
Thanks. Mr. Reiser from Citigroup.
All of my questions have been answered. Thanks very much, guys.
I think was the final caller.
info. Okay, thank you very much for attending. And for those of you wanting interviews with our CEO, please give me a sign and try to organize the queue.
Thank you.